Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by two fellow travelers who found a soul connection on the path to higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you're likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it's like to wake up to your authentic self. My name is Amaral, and I'm here with...
I'm Lola Singer. And before we dive into our topic today, I just wanted to remind our listeners that I do offer certain services online. I am a tarot reader, and I also do spirit guide drawings. I can send people digital copies of their guides. And I also am a Reiki master who uses light language as part of her skill set. Mm-hmm. So just want to let you know that if you're interested, you can contact me at lola@lightlanguagearts. That's with an S, lightlanguagearts.com. Or you can go to my website, lolasinger.com, to learn more. And the reason I was bringing that up is because we're going to be talking about things today that are related to energy healing and Reiki, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And what is our topic?
Today's topic is harmonizing body, mind, and spirit.
Yes. Easier said than done, isn't it?
Yes.
Seems to me like we kind of prioritize one and we kind of forget sometimes the others.
Yes, I would say that. I would also say that... So when you start out, it's so easy to forget because there's so much information.
Start out with what?
When we start with our spiritual awakening. Sorry, I should have been more clear. As we start with our spiritual awakening, we have this thirst for knowledge. So we like go into books and we find all these things out. And on at least I can speak for myself. The body I left behind because I'm like thinking like, oh, the body just catches up. The body just comes along for the ride. And then... as you grow, all of a sudden you realize that everything can feel you and you can feel it too. So our bodies are awake, like our cells in our body listen to us. Our cells in our body react depending on how we treat it. So then you start walking your awakening path and you start reaching your authentic self, but yet part of your authenticity is also connecting with your body because, again, we have the body, mind, and spirit, and they need to be harmonized, balanced out. And if you neglect the body starts acting up. And this is where I'm at.
Which is why you wanted to do this today and talk yes. about this.
I find it that as we go through life, we obviously want to talk on topics that relate to us, that we have covered ourselves, and that we feel strong about because there's been so many changes since like just the beginning of the year, especially energetic changes. And as I said earlier, we think so much about the shifts in energy and everything, but what about our bodies? And our bodies like have obviously the function of it. It's like we get movement, we get so many benefits from it. But nonetheless, the other thing that is always present to me is how when we start connecting with it and we start saying, I love you, body. I thank you for what you provide for me. It's almost like we're establishing a relationship. And think of all the times before when you always thought you were unworthy or your body wasn't good enough or you had poor self-image. Think about all the negativity you kind of, without meaning to, put your body under. And now all of a sudden you're trying to patch things up. Well, your body's like any other relationship. That means it doesn't just because one time you say you love it, one time you say you're thankful for it, it's like all of a sudden it comes on and it's like doing everything for you. It's like you have to establish that relationship just like everything else. I know I was going to talk about different situations that has been going on actually with me, But is there anything you would like to add, Lola, as far as like when you started out, and what was a moment that you thought, okay, I really need to incorporate the body?
I will be honest with you and the people who are listening. I fell into the trap of not paying attention to my body, thinking it wasn't as elevated as the spiritual. So I was always, how do I say it, a little bit reluctant about grounding.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be out in the ethers all the time. So it hasn't been till recently, and I've been on this journey for more than 10 years. I would have friends, you know, who could see my aura, and they'll be like, Lola, you're not grounded. Ground right now. Because I love just going off into the ethers. I love it. And so I think I had a tendency, to be honest with you, to think of the body as second rate on the spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And I do believe that's a trap a lot of people fall into. Mm-hmm. So I'm just letting you know, I was one of them. I'm not perfect. But now I understand that when we talk about harmonizing body, mind, and spirit, the body is an essential part of that formula, because that's what's housing the spirit.
Exactly. And we are living a human experience too. So we chose to be in these bodies. So we need to take care of them. And as we all know, as we take care of them, then we don't encounter things such as getting sick all the time, or just things that build up. For example, now there's been obviously, like, we know that when we build things such as resentment, we build like really strong emotions in it, and we don't clear those out, they really turn into different kinds of sickness. And I really don't want to go in detail about, because I'm not going to claim to be no doctor or whatever, but there's just so much pain, something stored in our bodies of what we've gone through, that can't possibly be good for us.
Well, to be honest with you, we could talk about this because we're both Reiki masters. One of the things you learn in Reiki is that we do tend to hold emotions in our bodies, in our joints. So when you're working on people, mm-hmm. you're going to feel it in their shoulders and their knees, even their ankles. I've pulled energy out of wrists and knuckles.
Yeah.
So we do store it. So the body, it's always trying to regulate our spiritual shifts. And, you know, as we talked about in another episode about ascension symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. And it's trying to regulate our mental shifts, and it's trying to regulate our emotional shifts. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's storing, you know, like we talk about emotional energy in certain places. And one of the things I wanted to point out that I think we haven't talked about yet is that we are light bodies, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that includes our physical body. It's still made of light. It's photons. Mm-hmm. It's just condensed. So you think you're not made out of light because you can touch this body. But that was the whole goal all along, to have a sensual experience.
Yep.
For all that is, it has got no limit to create limitations so that it could experience itself through senses.
Yep.
That's why we're here. So that's why this body is so important. So one of the things I think that we forget is that the body is part of your aura. It's still light.
Yep.
So it's not seven aura fields, it's eight, because the body is an auric field when you think of it being condensed light.
Yep.
And that's, I think, something that we're not taught.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to think it's only it's seven auric mm-hmm. fields, and the body is just this thing that the aura is swirling around, but yeah. it's swirling through. It's like a torus field, right?
Yeah.
So it's like an infinity sign or a donut with energy constantly moving. So the body is part of the aura. But I wouldn't have believed that when I was first on the spiritual journey. Well, I would have thought, well, this is just that thing I drag around to go to work, catch mm-hmm. the bus, and, walk the dog, whatever.
Well, and I just thought the body just catches on to what we're doing. Weirdly enough, I just thought like, okay, if I focus on just like healing and doing like shadow work and doing all these like clearing, the body itself just kind of adapts to it. And you know, some of us, like for example, with me, I've been doing a physical job for a long time. So I've been doing hair for 23 years now. It'll be like 24 years. 24 years here in June. So it's coming up. But I really mistreated my body. I was working 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. Sometimes no lunch, no nothing.
Or when you did have lunch, it was lunch on the run.
Yeah, exactly. And just pretty much anything I can get my hands in. It didn't matter. Like it was just all craziness. And I find it that now as I stand there and we all have this mirror that kind of reflects back to us. And part of our growth is being truthful with ourselves and being able to look at ourselves and say, what have I done so far to my body? And I've developed a lot of back problems, which is pretty common for a hairstylist. My feet can hurt from standing for long periods of time. But lately, the one thing that's really been putting things in perspective has been my right shoulder. Because my right shoulder, I have to use it for, it's really important, like for blow drying and for just in general, like picking up my shears, scissors. But the one connection that I've been doing lately is that I was doing good. Like I was really focusing on giving thanks to my body. I was focusing on like really every day setting up a time where I'm just talking to it, telling how much I love, like telling myself of my body, how much I love it. And I was doing great. And it was starting to listen to me. And how I know it was starting to listen to me, it was because it was like I could feel the energy shifting, because as we grow, become so sensitive of feeling when something feels good in our bodies and when it doesn't feel good in our bodies. And so as I talked to it, I could feel and sense that it was listening to me. And even an intuitive friend said, you know, your body, it's learning to trust you again because you have obviously abused it for so long. And so here comes last week, and I was really busy. And all this thing, I was really busy and there was all these other things going on and I totally just spaced it and I just went and I worked extra hard and everything. And it was really interesting how spirit kind of made me really be aware of like, what are you doing? Was that I used an account, like my Venmo account. Anyways, I lost my debit card. When you have a debit card that's not functioning, you can't deposit funds into your bank. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. It's just there. It'll be almost like something that I'm saving. So then when I finally contact customer service, and it turns out it was scammers. So right in front of my eyes when I contact them, and because I had to do this thing where they were like following along and telling me what to do on my account. So they were doing like when they can see your account from a distance. But anyways, to make the story short, they withdraw a whole bunch of money from my account. And I saw it as a ATM withdrawal. So they literally, without my approval, they took out that money. And I said, I did not tell you that it was okay to withdraw money from my account. What is going on? And then I realized it was a scammer. Anyways, I reported and everything. The odds are very little that I will get that money back, because it's just on their end, it shows like I was the one that like had someone use an ATM card and I give him a PIN number, like have somebody do it for me. Like, the problem is I live in Mount Vernon. This was done in Portland. So there is the inconsistencies as far as that happened, but what it was showing me is I worked so hard and I put my body through so much torture, and all of a sudden what I had to prove was this money, right? And for me, it's always been about that, because one of the biggest lessons that I'm going through is realize that I have to open myself for abundance to come in. And yes, there's action that needs to be taken, but not to the point of physically hurting myself, because that's no longer something that's working out for me. That's an old program that I'm getting by. And so when this happened, it's like all of a sudden I felt completely defeated in a way, because A, I had no resources as far as that resource I lost in front of me. But the other thing that would really, it really pointed at is, was it worth it? Was it worth to put my body through so much pain and for me to suffer the actual part of the whiplash of my body's now hurting and I still have to come back to work and now I have nothing to prove it. Like the money that I thought I had was gone. And so when that part, that reflective part came on, it was really hard because it was like, really, you can't hide. You have to face yourself. But it's not about self-torturing. Like, I don't see myself as like, oh, I'm being punished. It's more like I ask spirit, what is the lesson that I should be seeing from this? And clearly it's, I need to take care of my body so that I'm more balanced with the things I'm doing. And as I become more balanced, all of my relationships around me, including my body, become more balanced. And sometimes when we throw things off balance, things have to happen drastically in order for us to be like, okay, I need to change the way I'm doing things. Example, how many people get hurt physically because they're constantly putting their bodies into all this things of like being in pain and stuff until like the body recognizes like you're not appreciating me. So because since you don't value me, there's going to be something that I'm going to do so that you understand that I have a function and that I am important in your life almost.
Well, I have a slightly different spin on that. Mm-hmm. And yes, I understand where you're coming from, but there are times when you're working on your mind and your spirit. Mm-hmm. And this has happened to me a couple times. And then I've hurt myself really badly so that I had to be still.
Yeah.
And that allowed me to go deeper into my mind and mm-hmm. connect more with spirit. So I don't think the body's always saying, oh, you haven't been taking care of me. Now I'm going to rebel. I think sometimes spirit says you are on a track. You're not paying attention. You could grow more mind with your mind and your spirit. So now I'm going to make your body have an accident. That's what happened mm-hmm. to me a couple times, so that you have to stay still so we can keep working on you spiritually and mentally. Mm-hmm. So I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the only reason why I'm even addressing this as far as like that, it was because the day when that happened, I felt emotions, but it was weird. It was almost like I felt emotions, but they weren't coming from me. And then when I got home and I got to relax, and my favorite way of getting things out to be able to really know where they're coming from is to journal. And I lit up a candle and I started journaling. And then all of a sudden, like all these things started coming to me about the different times where my body has felt betrayed in a way, because I have promised it things, I have promised change, and I haven't fulfilled that promise. I have done so many times I have been like, I want to change on the way I'm treating myself. I want to change on the way I'm like what I'm eating or things like from that nature. And yet all of a sudden something will happen and I'll make whatever excuse for it. But then it backfires on me. But it's not really so much it backfires. It's really clearly showing me, like, when I do set up intention, when I make the promises, I need to, like, follow up with it. Because if I just choose all of a sudden, I just change my mind, then, I mean, there's always going to be, whether one way or another, not that I'm saying that it's always going to happen and hit you financially or whatever, but you could get hurt. There's just so many different ways that the body reacts to it.
So I guess the lesson for both of us mm-hmm. is when we are on the spiritual journey and we know we're expanding our minds, we're expanding our emotions, we're expanding our spiritual connections, we need to also acknowledge the body and expand with the body. And I think that's why people naturally at some point want to start taking care of their body better. And I think usually the first thing is with food, right?
Yes.
because there gets to be a point where certain types of food just aren't appealing anymore on the spiritual journey. I think we talked about that in the Ascension Symptoms episode, right? Mm-hmm. So there comes a point where you go, oh, you know what? You make this mental conviction that, okay, I'm not going to eat this anymore. I'm not going to eat that anymore. Okay, what does my body want to eat now? Mm-hmm. So typically people lose their interest in fast food. Mm-hmm. They lose their interest in like sugary, processed sugary foods. Like I don't even, the only time, you know, like when you have to go to the gas station and you want to pay cash at the pump, right? I walk in there, I pay for the gas, and I look around and go, there's not one thing I want to buy in this place. So I think that's a sign, if you feel that way too, that you're definitely on a spiritual journey and you're bringing the body along for the ride.
Yep. And so then we pulled up also online a few things about spiritual awakening can involve physical sensations and shifts in your body as you integrate new awareness and understanding. So these changes can manifest or heighten sensitivity, changes in sleep or appetite, physical aches, and increase empathy. Some people
definitely increases empathy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some people also experience heart palpitations, tingling sensations, and digestive issues.
So that's what we were just talking about. Your digestion says, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, another big one is alcohol. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you don't want alcohol anymore.
Yeah. So when I grew up in the path of really, like, I would say abusing alcohol and along with other things, but it wasn't anything hard. It was like marijuana. And then as I've moved with my journey, I realized I needed to drop alcohol because alcohol was no longer resonating at all with me. Like every time I drank it, I had this pounding headaches. And it didn't matter how much amount I drank. It just wasn't for me. And then the same thing happened with like pot. And then I realized too that my approach to both of them was more of an escape or an enhanced experience. When if you think about it, so if you're drinking to escape or if you're drinking because, oh, you had such a stressful week, then you're really, I mean, that's almost like a using mechanism of something.
Well, I think, you know, and I be honest with you, I was drinking a lot when I had my 3D job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was probably a functional alcoholic because I was drinking beer or wine every night, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when you get to that point, that's when you start to realize something's wrong and something needs to shift.
Yeah.
And that's usually when we're looking for something beyond that. And I think that's, you know, a lot of people who've had spiritual awakenings, they probably have had their moments dealing with addictions. Mm-hmm. Because, well, think about it. Look at this world we're in. We're told it's the things that are normal don't feel normal to us. Mm-hmm. So then we do look for an escape, like for you, marijuana or alcohol. Mm-hmm. For me, it was alcohol too. And then eventually you realize that's not the fix. I'm going down the wrong rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
And I think getting out of that addiction, it starts with the mental, like we talked about, right? And the emotional, and then helping the body. That's not the easiest part.
Yeah, but it goes much, much deeper too, because I think that it allows you to go within to see, where did it start from? Like, what is my relationship to what I'm doing? In what were the original feelings and why I did it in the first place. In it's almost like going down this rabbit hole / healing of yourself. And
yeah, because you get tired of covering up the feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
It's finally time to examine them.
And how many of us, like, I grew up in like the in a Latin culture, but it is so celebrated. Like literally, like every celebration must have alcohol. And that's okay. But it's so strange to me, and even to this day, it's so strange to me that, like, for example, alcohol is like praised in a way, and it's like what it's there, but yet all of a sudden pot is just so evil and so bad, and you're like, Actually, you put them in the scale. Alcohol is way worse than pot, but it's just the excuses and the programming behind it that we use socially. Like there's certain things, like for example, obviously alcohol brings your vibration, like it lowers your vibration, but things that have that it's like I literally I things that make you go huh is alcohol has been around since forever. Back in the day, people didn't drink water, actually.
It was safer to drink alcohol.
It was safer to drink alcohol. So, like, you come from a, like, when it first began to be around, there was an actual purpose, and that's why it was doing it. Then we learn, okay, it's not the greatest for us, and it develops things such as alcoholism, as well as so many other issues. And I think those of us that have experienced the severeness of alcohol, what it does as far as behaviors, as far as alcoholism, and as far as our loved ones and what they're dealing with, we just can't, we can't sugarcoat it. We get to face the true, per se, when it's abused, what it can really do in your, how it can really wreck your life, I guess, in a way. Obviously, the people choose to drink it. It's not, and we're not telling you, oh, you're a bad person if you're drinking. No, we are bringing awareness and a different approach to look at things, because as we grow spiritually, there's just some things that one day you're going to be like, this is no longer aligning with me. This is not making me feel good anymore.
Well, yeah, but you can still drink and be spiritually awake in moderation.
Yeah.
Drink in moderation. We're talking about excess because you're not looking at the core wounding in order to heal it, which is the whole idea on a spiritual journey. So one of the things that I would like to focus on are some of the ways to help the body.
Mm-hmm.
You have one that you do regularly.
Yep.
Which is breath work.
Yes. Breath work is amazing. Breath work, the technique itself, what the biggest right away things that benefits that you get is you release stress and you release anxiety, but it goes much, much deeper than that. So it helps with releasing traumas too. And so when something surfaces up, meaning when you're dealing with something that is really emotional and you can't really understand, I just had a talk today with one of my friends because she contacted me and she said, I'm going through a lot. It's like literally like a huge, like heartbreak feeling. And she was just like letting me know because I'm going to see her here soon and just for me to be aware. And I wanted to really like I wanted to help her, give her some tools. So I said, you know, when those feelings are coming out, they can be a lot. They can feel like a lot. But at the same time, it's good to bring them out so they can be cleared. So I said, I'm going to send you a copy of the recording for breath work, for our last breath work. But I said, one of the things is like when breath work becomes intentional, it's like even more powerful. Meaning when, like for her, like I told her what I do is I journal, like I now surrender or I now let go of the pain of and then fill in the blank. I light up a candle and I write down until I like really tap into it, really bring out those emotions. I set intentions with my guides about helping me with bringing that stuff out. And when you do that breath work, it just goes straight into that pain, into that part that's bothering you, and it really comes out. And I mean, breath is like gives us life. So that's like one thing that's like super important to acknowledge. But as well as the technique of breath work came from the person that invented it. When they started breathing a certain way, it was able to go back to when he first came out of the womb, which is,
it's been around forever.
Well, yeah, nobody, I mean, every culture has, but what I'm saying is when it started being commercialized and used as breath work.
You're talking about, what's his name, Goff?
Yes, it's somewhere, I don't remember his name, but yes, Lola is absolutely right. Every ancient culture, native culture, have understood the power of breath and have used it in different ways, such as like meditating, such as like so many, in just different, what would we say? But yes, it's extremely powerful. But nonetheless, not to get away from it, that's just that's one way. So let's go on other ways too. I think that one of the things we didn't touch on was what makes our bodies go into more calm and more into feeling better, such as rest. I think that when I was first going through my awakening, we all go through those times where we're waking up constantly, like at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever. We're not getting much sleep. So it's important when you're not getting enough sleep to take a moment to do naps, to really help with resting your body, because you can't just be go, go, go and not really take a rest. Also, that starts really coming in into your nervous system, starts making your nervous system act up when you're not fully rested, as well as your, I guess, moods. You can definitely have mood swings when you're not fully rested.
Well, this is the kind of workaday world where it's very, very hard mm-hmm. to rest, and that's by design.
Yeah.
So, if you can rest, that's wonderful. If you can't, I want to go back to the breathing, because that is something that it goes back to ancient cultures, mm-hmm. you know, Hindu, Tibetan, everybody, for a reason, because it does have a way to calm you down in the moment. And the thing I wanted to point out is that the root word for breathing mm-hmm. is actually spiro, spiral, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same root, like, because for respiration, right? Spiro. Yeah. It's the same root as spirit.
Yeah.
So when you're breathing, you are connecting to spirit in your body. It's actually a very meditative connection to something greater than you. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize that because we take it for granted.
Exactly.
But there's a reason why spirit is the same root as spiro. And I wanted to bring that up. Hmm. So you can find breathing techniques online. You can find YouTube videos. Yep. I think you were talking about the person who popularized.
Yep.
Didn't invent it. Popularized
exactly. Popularized it.
Is Grof, right? G-R-O-F.
I think so.
He's yes. also the one who likes to do the plunges.
Yes.
In the icy cold water.
Yeah.
So that's something if that would be good for your body. If I've never had an opportunity to try it, but
I've done it. I've done it like 3 times and it works really well. It really does put your body into shock, and it does make you feel more like self-aware, like your body awareness for sure. Also, it one of the benefits, it's like really raises your immune system, which it just has a lot of different things that it has. We did, there was a breath work and cold plunge combo that I ended up doing with a friend of mine. And that was really interesting and very unexpected.
I have to admit, I have done what they call hydrotherapy, like in the shower. Mm-hmm. Before you leave, you start turning it colder and mm-hmm. colder and colder. And it's better for your body to do that.
Yeah.
And that does feel good. I've never done a plunge, though, okay. ever. One of the things my family did every week, we had, we weren't rich, but we're Scandinavian, and my dad was a carpenter. So he built a sauna in the basement. So we had saunas.
Okay.
Yeah. So you allow yourself to, like, sweat yeah. out the guck, which a lot of people do on a spiritual journey. They'll do saunas, but also
sweat lodges.
Sweat lodges, yeah. Now you've done a sweat lodge, yes, a couple times.
More than a couple times. Sweat lodges are very interesting to me because the first time I ever did a sweat lodge, I was 16 years old. I was in Mexico. I was like just touring, like literally like just a tourist. And I go and I sit on this bench, and on this bench, this guy comes up to me and he looked more native and he goes, "I want to extend my invitation for you to join us at a sweat lodge." I have never seen this guy in my life, ever. Like, this is what alignment really, you guys, it's like the essence. It's such a great story, too. And I don't think I've ever shared it either. So he tells me that they meet up, that they were going to meet up that same night, and it was going to be at 7. And he gives me the address, and he says, Spirits really asked me to invite you to come. And I said, okay. And at that time, I had no clue anything, spirit, whatever. It was, I was a 16-year-old, very rebellious 16-year-old, I may add. And so I go home and I said to my aunt, can you take me to this address at 7 p.m.? And she goes, for what? And I said, oh, it's a sweat lodge. And this guy said that, like, he came and he invited me and I just want to partake in it. I think it's going to be great. I don't know what it is exactly because I've never done it before, but I want to partake in it. So a sweat lodge, the ones in Mexico specifically, get really, really hot. It's like a place where they set it up where there's a pit in the bottom. Usually there's sand or dirt all around and you sit around the fire. The people that put it together are the ones that sit in the middle and they're singing and they're playing instruments. And they close, there's usually like three entrances or two entrances, and they close those entrances or even one entrance. They close it and they put it all dark. And they start, before they prep it up, by putting rocks into fire and getting them like as hot as possible. Like these rocks are like bright red. And so they come in and they put them in the center and they start putting water in it. So it creates steam. Well, it gets really, really hot. And the key to a sweat lodge is about going within. The more you're at peace, the less you feel the temperature. The more you're stressed out, when you get anxiety, it just, the temperature rises up to what?
The more you tense up.
Yeah, when you're tense up and it's unbearable. So one of the things they tell you is, because it's a ceremony, you have to ask if you can exit. And there's only certain periods where they, when they're like bringing in the rocks, that's the only time you can exit for those that want to exit. But one of the things they say is, it's such a big ceremony that you're connecting, your body's connecting to earth. So if it gets too extreme, one of the things they suggest is for you to lean forward and put your chest against the ground or against the sand. What I didn't understand then is that by doing that, you're literally surrendering and you're just being like Gaia, like,
oh, yeah, you'd even be prone. Yeah. You talk about body position.
Yep. Yeah. And because heat rises, so the bottom actually maintains a temperature that's a lot lower. Mm-hmm. So the ground gets cooler. So it cools you down. And but what was so incredibly majestic after I showed up, and weirdly enough, I don't even know how my aunt just fell for it. She literally took me there and she's like, when do I pick you up? And I told her, as I go in, they turn off all the lights and they're like, kind of go on their like thing. And they said, this is each sweat lodge has a totem animal that's connected to. And this happened to be a bear, which funny enough, the sweat lodge here, it's connected to a bear that's in Tulalip, which I've been once to it, but it's a little bit different. But nonetheless, as soon as they turn off the lights, I close my eyes, and this is me supposedly not even being spiritual. This huge eagle comes, literally. Mm-hmm. I get on top of the eagle and I take off. I did not feel any temperature. I did not, like, I was just zoned out. And then when the eagle comes back and drops me back off, they're finishing the ceremony.
Whoa.
You
checked out.
I checked out. I did not even feel any temperatures, no nothing. And I was 16 and I was like in shock. And I was like, what just happened? But it was like, that's how alignment works when certain things are meant to happen. Like, I did not know this guy. This guy came to me and talked to me. He was guided by spirit. I went in there. I have full trust of, like, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm called to be here. And I just gave in to the experience. But it's so fascinating. And then later on, my husband has joined me in one, and he'll never do it again, which is his exact words. But he suffered at that time for so much anxiety. Like, he would get panic attacks all the time, and it cured it. Like, because when he was the most anxious, he finally surrendered it by putting his chest against the ground. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, it's like all of that excess part of him trying to control things, because we know anxiety comes from lack of control. He gave it up. And I was so proud of him. And he was so angry at me because he said I pushed him when really all I said is I invited him. But then later on when he realized, and I was just kind of like smiling within, because I'm like, he hasn't had a panic attack at all. And he never had a panic attack after that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Corollary.
Yep. And so then I said, have you realized something? And he goes, no, what are you talking about? And I said, when was the last time you had a panic attack? And he's like, well, back in the day before that whole ceremony thing. And I said, have you had one? And he goes, no, I actually haven't. And it's really strange because I used to get them all the time and they just went away. So the thing that all I'm saying with that is that there's just so many ways to really connect to our bodies. And then when we realize that we're not apart, you guys, literally like spirit comes to us through our bodies. Like our bodies are spirit, are part of spirit. Like we're all source energy. So we're just putting this, even though a lot of people disrespect it in a way because they said like this flesh suit, it's not just the flesh
suit.
Yeah,
I don't like when people use those terms at all. And speaking of, I'm actually swaying. And that's how spirit loves to move, right? Yeah. So one of the things we haven't talked about yet is I speak and sing in light language.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the forms of light language is movement. So people dance in light mm-hmm. language. You can see them do that. People post what they do online mm-hmm. on YouTube. Also, when I started doing mudras, the hand movements.
Yeah.
So right now, if we had a camera, you'd see spirits moving through me right now. I'm swaying back and forth. Now, that's something that's pretty normal on the spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. You'll just start moving. And if you do, fine. That's just, you know, the way spirit likes to operate. Everything, spirit spiral, right?
Yep.
So you're just in tune. Your body's absolutely in tune with your heart and your spirit when that happens. And if you start moving, you know, in a freeform dance style, mm-hmm. congratulations, you're doing light language. You probably didn't even know that, huh? Because I think a lot of people think light language is only sound, but it's movement as well. Yep. So,
there's even like a new form of dancing, which is ecstatic dancing, which is...
No, that's ancient.
Yeah, no, that's ancient.
Everything you're talking about is ancient.
Yes. But what I'm saying is... It's newer as far as me looking at.
Ask the Greeks and the Romans.
I know. But as far as like what I mean by new, it's just something that I've seen more to rise up now in modern Western society there. Like it's coming up. Yes, it's ancient. Yes, it's been passed down and it's been filtered to so much. But what I love about it is that at least it's being experienced now by people. Like there's literally, I have a friend that she's a DJ. And she's spiritual, so she's not tapping into your mainstream music. Instead, she's doing frequency music where they're allowed to be able to move. They close their eyes. Their bodies take part of the healing themselves while dancing, while enjoying themselves.
Now, isn't that a perfect example of our topic today? Harmonizing body, mind, and spirit. Yep. So you... may have done that yourself and you didn't even know that is part of what's making you connect to higher realms. Mm-hmm.
And look at, for example, like the plant medicine too, that we have shared in previous podcasts, that we tried, that like really just, it almost allows the body to welcome the spirit part more and open up to spirit, I should say, with us, with cacao. That was definitely one thing that it did for us. It opened our heart space so that way we could heal more of within. But I just...
Yeah, so that's something physical.
Yep.
The body is ingesting, but it's helping you to connect at another level. And then other plant medicines too, but... like we talked about before, you always want to go with somebody very trusted.
Exactly.
If you're going down that route. But what I like about the movement, just the natural movement, is mm-hmm. that doesn't require any chemicals.
Exactly.
So I'm trying to think, there was one other thing I had in mind and it went right out of my little brain mm-hmm. about another thing that's pretty common for our bodies. Oh, what you do, the blessing your water.
Oh, yes. Yes, I love blessing my water. I do it, and now it's almost become a habit where I just talk to it. So water has been proven that it can program emotions. When you talk to it, it programs those intentions into it. So when you talk to your water, you said, I love, the main thing that I always like to do is saying, I love you, thank you for hydrating me. So it just sets it so that it has loving frequency. So when it goes in, my cells get all that love, as well as I'm actually getting hydrated by the water itself.
And you can set any intention, just speak it into your water, you know, something positive, and then your body and your cells are going to feel that.
I like to also thank my body too. So one of the things too in the morning, usually this is more in the morning, is when I talk to my water, I just say, thank you, cells of my body, for keeping me healthy and keeping me pain free. And that's like mm-hmm. a really big one, because it's, well, what I've learned is the more I focus within and the more I value my body, the more my body reacts by loving me back. Meaning it works great. It feels better. I also love that the other day Lola brought up another technique of blessing food and blessing water, and I really liked it, which is we use our
right hand. Oh, this comes from a book by Rainbow Thunderheart, who mm-hmm. used to be a earth healer who created medicine wheel grids all around the world, actually. So we tried this technique in the book, and it was like and then we ate our food and went, this is tasting better than ever.
Yep, it does. It changes the taste of water, and it changes the taste of food.
Yeah, so you take your right hand and you run spirals over your food or your water, mm-hmm. and it goes clockwise.
No, first you go counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise.
Yep.
Okay, I have to reread the book.
Yep. It's counterclockwise, and then...
Oh, because you're removing...
Yes, you're removing...
You're removing the toxins and whatever could be in there from the food, okay?
That's not good
or the
for
bad
you.
Emotions because the angry exactly. chef in the kitchen or whatever.
Yep, and then you put your hand to your heart.
Your right hand to your heart.
And that helps with kind of like clearing it out and just like putting, like shifting that into more positive energy. Then you
lift your hand and you send the energy up to the sun.
Yes.
And let the sun collect it.
Yep. Transmute it.
And now you put your right hand over the food again.
Yep.
This time clockwise.
Yes.
Yes.
And now you focus on bringing in all the goodness, all the nutrition that your body is going to receive from it.
Yes. So try this at home. Usually, you know, you hear, don't try this at home, kids, but try this at home, kids.
I would love to hear some input on people to try it and what they felt, because we noticed right away our food tastes great. Like literally it just, the taste bud, our taste buds were enhanced or something, but it just, the food tastes way better.
Yeah.
The water tastes better too. I tried it with water and it tastes better.
And then your hand is activated.
Yes, your hand gets activated. It gets all warm and
it's tingly.
Yep, it gets tingly.
Okay, so you start by doing counterclockwise. Then you put your hand on your heart.
Yeah.
Feel the heart energy. Release everything that you just got rid of up to the sun.
Yep.
And then you go back to your plate or your water, and then you go clockwise.
Yep.
Okay, just wanted to reiterate that so you guys can practice that. And obviously, I need to practice it again, too.
Yep. But, and when you're going clockwise, it's almost about like...
Because you're bringing in...
Yeah. You're bringing in that energy, and then you're like...
Counterclockwise releases, clockwise brings in.
Yep. And then you can be like thankful for it, and then you can just like ask for it to be like... That's when you're like pretty much blessing part comes in.
Yes. And in Rainbow Thunderheart's book, you can do that also. He recommends for if you do clearings with sage sage, for example, to do that over your sage before you burn the sage.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Well, yeah. he's a shaman, you know.
I know. That's a good trick. I hadn't even thought of that. But you know, when I did do it the other day, my stomach was feeling upset. And I did it to my stomach, too.
Oh, I can see how that... Hey, guys, that's a good idea.
And when I
if
did it...
If you have
it,
a pain, try that. Try going counterclockwise over your stomach, you did.
Yeah.
And then you took... Oh, okay.
Yeah, put it in my heart, release it to the sun, and then come back. And then think it and soothe it and thank my stomach for functioning properly. And it worked.
Okay, this is a good tip for everybody. The other thing that I've talked about that I love to do is to thank every cell in my body and say it out loud. So I know I've recommended this before, but you guys, do if you want to, say it along with me three times. I am loving every cell in my body. Okay, let's start three times. I am loving every cell in my body. I am loving every cell in my body. I am loving every cell in my body.
It does react.
It elevates you immediately. It's so fast, you guys. I mean, my whole body's tingling now. Your cells love to hear that.
They do. And how many, you guys, how many times have we done the opposite? But it's not about feeling guilty over that. It's more about like changing those patterns. Again, the relationship you're establishing with your body now, as you become more healed and balanced, just all we're trying to say is everything needs to be considered and everything needs to be balanced. And that's part of that everything is our bodies.
And the other thing I do every morning when I wake up, I think of five things I'm grateful for. And it's always at least one thing about my body.
Good.
And I actually was very thankful this morning that I have mobility.
Mm-hmm.
We take that for granted till it's not working, don't we?
Yeah.
So we should be thanking our body for mobility. I thank my body for my sinuses. I thank my body because my elbow bends. All these things that we take. My body loved hearing about the elbow. Yeah. I just got a chill.
So my thing that I've been discovering that I've been doing is when we ground in the morning, like when you, however technique you use to ground in the morning, it's about having that moment with the planet because we are an extension of the planet. We are like literally the energy connected to us connects with our planet. So a thing I say, like as we ground, we're in the center or whatever technique you use, I say, I love you, Gaia. I say, thank you for all the resources you provide for me. I love being part of your ascension. And I love that anything that I could ever want or dream of, it's already here and I'm just aligned to it. And when you start establishing that deep connection, and I just finish it off with, as above, I ground on star, so below, I ground on stone. And man, it's like just your grounding gets increased into the point where now you're feeling like your body is fully part of Earth too, which is a great feeling, I may add.
Yeah, and you might not realize, you know, it's pretty obvious the moon is tied to our bodies, mm-hmm. right? Especially if you're female. But also the pH of the ocean is the same as the pH of our blood.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
I learned that from Eli, of course. So he loves science as well as metaphysics. So we are definitely attached, yeah. My favorite way to ground is to just imagine that I am sinking into the ground. And it's like the very, you know, the healing spas in Arkansas where people spend a lot of money to sit in the mud there. I just imagine I'm sitting in that mud and it goes up all the way up to my shoulders and I'm there.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite technique. I'm just giving you guys what I know to borrow.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we're definitely connected. So thanking Gaia would also be thanking our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. I guess the whole point of this episode was to point out that I know I was guilty of it,
yes.
taking my body for granted on mm-hmm. the spiritual journey, thinking it was a meat suit, forgetting that it's photons, forgetting it's connected to Gaia and all that magic, that we're actually stars. these bodies are made of stardust. They literally are. So, you know, there's... And they call the body a temple for a reason.
Yeah.
So it's a temple for our spirit.
And it, I think that that's just it in a nutshell, is the... It's the relationship we establish with it and how we grow from that. And realizing that it's not just about us growing in our spiritual journey. It's our bodies are growing with us too. So they become more sensitive, as far as we become more sensitive to hearing our own bodies. We're able to communicate with our bodies. We're able to have that deeper connection of, now I know that what I'm doing, my body approves of it. Or even also when it doesn't approve of something, it lets you know by, like, usually pain or something that's wrong with it. So I want to challenge everyone to start treating our bodies better by, even when we have something that's going on with us, like, really connecting with our bodies and asking our bodies, what is it that you're trying to show me? Like, because everything is based off of intention. So when we even set an intention of, show me why I'm hurting, or show me, and then the other beautiful thing about it, it's because we now have this thing called online. Literally, you can type, like, what does this have to do, like the meaning of a certain pain or certain discomfort in certain part of our bodies with spirituality. And a lot of the times it really aligns. There's actually books that, like, talk about different problems with the body, as well as, so for example, Lola showed me this book about cayenne pepper and how magical it is, because it can treat so many things that I was totally unaware of. And now I'm glad, because I'm like, whoa, like, and I do have cayenne pepper. It's those natural remedies that were the true medicine once upon a time. That's what people don't realize. Pills is not the actual true medicine.
Just trying to copy the synthetically what naturally happens. Like willow bark.
Yep.
Is the same thing that they're trying to make aspirin. Yep. For headaches. Willow. Yep. Bark. Yeah. So I guess the whole point being, you want to be, as you go on the spiritual journey and you shift, change, and grow mentally and emotionally and spiritually, you do want to you just naturally want to treat your body better and learn. Yep. These things. So these are just a few things that we learned for ourselves that we're sharing with you.
Yep.
The whole podcast is designed to let you know that we didn't figure things out right away.
Exactly. And we are by no means perfect. We're just learning along with everybody else. But these are some of the things we've learned and things that we value now, because they sure have made a change in us. So thank you for listening. Please share.
Yes, please share this podcast with your friends if you liked it. And, you know, treat your body as your friend, because it's helping you on the spiritual path.
Don't forget to hydrate. That's one thing that forgot to say. Hydrate lots, especially during the high energy times.
For sure. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.